Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Another day where we praise our God together. God be praised for that. We have so many things to praise God for because of the gospel. So many blessings that we have from the gospel. However, we also have difficulty from the gospel as well. In fact, today Jesus will remind us that because of the gospel, there will be division. It's inescapable. But in the midst of that division, God gives us a lot of comfort, and we'll focus on that today as well. God be praised for what he gives us. This morning, we're going to open our worship with hymn 474, Stand Up for Jesus. And what I'd like you to do is for the last verse, please stand up. God bless your worship this morning. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him, and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him, and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Amen. Amen. You may be seated as we sing a hymn of response, Fight the Good Fight, number 457. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, it is only by your gift of grace that we come into your presence and offer true and faithful service. Grant that our worship on earth may always be pleasing to you, and in the life to come, give us the fulfillment of what you have promised. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. This morning, as we look at what the gospel can do, it can divide. This is a good example of that here in our first lesson, 2 Kings chapter 11. Here we see, as Jesus will say in the gospel lesson 2, can divide even in the midst of family. From 2 Kings chapter 11. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she proceeded to destroy the whole royal family. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram and sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from the royal princes, who were about to be murdered. She put him and his nurse in a bedroom to hide him from Athaliah, so he was not killed. He remained hidden with his nurse at the temple of the Lord for 6 years, while Athaliah ruled the land. Jehoiada brought out the king's son and put the crown on him. He presented him with a copy of the covenant and proclaimed him king. They anointed him, and the people clapped their hands and shouted, "Long live the king!" When Athaliah heard the noise made by the guards and the people, she went to the people at the temple of the Lord. She looked, and there was the king standing by the pillar as the custom was. The officers and the trumpeters were beside the king, and all the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets. Then Athaliah tore her robes and called out, "Treason! Treason!" Jehoiada the priest ordered the commanders of units of 100 who were in charge of the troops, "Bring her out between the ranks and put to sword anyone who follows her." So the priest had said she must not be put to death in the temple of the Lord. So they seized her as she reached the place where the horses enter the palace grounds, and there she was put to death. Jehoiada then made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people that they would be the Lord's people. He also made a covenant between the king and the people. All the people of the land went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They smashed the altars and idols to pieces and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, in front of the altars. Then Jehoiada the priest posted guards at the temple of the Lord. The word of the Lord. We now join together in the psalm of the day, which is Psalm 139. This, as you and I are going through difficulties because of the gospel, the truths in this psalm are what gives us comfort that God is always with us. We speak it responsively. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me.
You know, Lord, I sit in my house. You perceive my thoughts from afar.
You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways.
Your word is on my tongue. You, Lord, know it completely.
You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain.
Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?
When I go up to the heavens, you are there. When I make my bed in the depths, you are there.
If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me,
even the darkness will not be dark to you, the night will shine like day, for darkness is as light to you.
For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts.
See if there is any offense of the way of me, and lead me to the way everlasting.
The second lesson shows much of the same confidence in the Lord, and that is because of the armor that he gives us when things get difficult. Note also what the purpose of that armor is to do. What does Paul ask them to pray for at the end? From Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. The word of the Lord. Now please stand in honor of the words of Jesus. The gospel lesson for this morning comes from Luke chapter 12. Here, once again, Jesus does remind us that there will be division because of the gospel. From Luke chapter 12. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five and one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. And if there are any children in the congregation who would like to come forward for a children's message, you can meet me up at the front step. Good morning. How you doing? Good. You know what this is? A jump rope. Fear not, your pastor is not going to try to jump rope in his robe. That wouldn't go well. I'm also not even going to ask you to jump rope. What I'm doing with this jump rope is creating a dividing line. A dividing line. Have you ever seen in any cartoons or something where maybe there's a battle and somebody has a sword or something and they put a line in the sand? Have you ever heard about that? A line in the sand. Whenever there's a line, a dividing line, you're to choose, all right, what side am I on? Am I on that side or this side? That battle, that side of that battle, or this side of that battle, or whatever it is. This morning I'm going to ask you to pick sides, and we'll warm up here with something really easy, okay? Are you ready? All right, I want you to stand up. All right, I want you to be on this side of the rope if you like the 49ers. And on this side of the rope if you have a different team that you like, or maybe no team at all for football. So which is it? You guys like the 49ers or something else? All right. Okay, so you're some other team. All right, so they're easy enough, right? So that's how it works. Go ahead and go back to the middle. Okay, I'm going to ask you some more serious questions. You can keep standing. Stand on this side if you want to side with the devil. And stand on this side if you want to side with God. Good, well done. Well trained. All right, back to the middle. All right. Go to this side if you want to side with sin, and this side if you want to side with Jesus. Good, all right, good side to be. Probably be way over there too, right? Yeah. Okay, this side, you know exactly what's happening. This side if you want to side with your friends, or this side if you want to side with God. Right, we're to take God above our friends. Good, back to the middle. This side if you want to side with your brother or sister. Oh, that one was even faster than the friends. And this side with God. Okay, all right, back to the middle. Now here we go. This side if you want to side with your parents. And this side, if it comes to it, where you have to side with God. Good choice. That can be hard to do. That one can be really hard to do. Why? What kind of relationship do we have with our parents and caretakers? Very close, right? They love us, we love them. But Jesus says that we are to take even God above all of everyone else. The thing is, the truth of the matter is, you here are able to choose over and over again. Choose what is better. You're able to stand next to God and side with God, but guess what? You didn't have that choice in the beginning. In fact, come stand over here. Because of sin, we had this huge dividing line between us and God. And you and I didn't see God as our Father. We saw Him as our enemy. So you know what God did? He got rid of that dividing line. He sent Jesus, and Jesus took away our sin, that barrier between us and God. So now come stand over here. Now God brings us to his side, and we are able to call ourselves his dear children. However, this also means that there still is a dividing line between us and the world, and the devil, and sin, and anything else that tries to pull us away from God. And remaining on God's side can be a very difficult thing, because there are a lot of temptations and pressures. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray. We're going to pray for strength for that right now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, forgive us for the times when we choose poorly. Forgive us for the times when we don't side with you. Lord, we praise and thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you for forgiving our sins through his death on the cross. Now, Lord, as we are your dear children through Christ, we ask for strength to continue to glorify you in everything we do, in all of our relationships, and in all ways, put you first. We ask everything in our Savior's name. Amen. You guys can remain, go back to your seats. We'll continue with the hymn of the day. Note that it's printed in the bulletin, and please also note that there will be a musical interlude between verse 2 and verse 3.
Jesus, refuge of the weary, blessed Redeemer whom we love. Fountain in life's desert dreary, Savior from the world above. Oh, how oft your eyes offended gaze upon a sinner's fall. Yet upon the cross extended, you endured the pain of all. Dare we pass that cross unheeding, breathing no repentant vow, as we see you wounded bleeding, see your thorn encircled brow. Since your sinless death has brought us life eternal, peace and rest, only what your grace has taught us calms the sinner's deep distress. Jesus, may our hearts be burning with more fervent love for you. May our eyes be ever turning to behold your cross anew. Till in glory parted never from the blessed Savior's side, graven in across the crucified. Cross the crucified.
God's grace and God's peace are yours, brothers and sisters, thanks to Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The sermon text for this morning comes from 2 Kings chapter 11. We'll also be covering the first and second lessons as well, so if you wanted to follow along, you can do that in the bulletin. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Amen. There's something about being united. Something about the blessings that come from being united with a people that have a common purpose, and when you're working toward a common goal. There are a lot of blessings that come from being united like that, and it's important for us to do that as citizens of the world, as Americans, as Californians, as employers and employees, as friends and acquaintances, as spouses, as parents and children, as siblings, all of it. Being one is important. And having peace with others and striving for that peace is important. But there are times when you have to pick a side. As Jesus mentioned in the gospel lesson, there will be division because of the gospel. There will be. And that division will even strike in our closest relationships. And because of that, it can be really hard to do what's right. So what we're going to do this morning as we meditate on God's word is we're going to take a look at the gospel lesson, and then also in the second lesson. There are a couple of truths there that are really important to grasp. After we do that, we're going to take a look at the first lesson and see a historical example of how God can use those truths in the hearts and lives of his people. As we do all of this morning, we're going to have a very clear answer to this question. When the gospel divides, what does God want us to remember? We'll start with the gospel lesson. As we already mentioned, Jesus said that there will indeed be division because of the gospel. However, there's also an interesting thing that he says in that gospel lesson where if you're not reading it carefully, you're going to miss out on your greatest comfort. Jesus says, "I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed." Here Jesus isn't referring to the baptism where in the Jordan River water washed over him. That already took place. Here Jesus is talking about a different baptism. He's using the word figuratively. That baptism was when the wrath of God washed over him when he died on the cross. Suffering and pain, like a baptism. And if you're not careful and you don't catch that as you're reading that, then you're missing out on your greatest comfort, because whose baptism should that have been? Ours. And yet, when we go to see God someday, instead of being fearful and expecting some sort of suffering because of our sins, we have the opposite. We have peace with God, thanks to what Christ did. We can have all of this strain and all this difficulty in every other relationship on this earth, but there is one relationship where we don't have to worry about it being strained. We have peace with God himself. And the same God that worked out that peace is the same God who guides us as we are going through not-so-peaceful situations. He gives us something to help us endure, and that's what we saw in the second lesson. Paul says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." First, he reminds us of who's really working behind all of our relationships to try to sever that relationship with God? It's the devil. It's the evil one. But then he says to withstand the devil's attacks, you and I have been given the armor of God himself. And he lists the pieces of armor. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's quite the armor. I don't think anything's going to stand up to that armor. Notice what all of that armor has in common, what it all goes back to. It's all traced back to forgiveness in Jesus. That's promised in the Word. The belt of truth, where do you find truth? The inspired Word of God. That tells us about what Christ did. That righteousness, that peace, that faith, that salvation, we receive that through Jesus' perfect life, his innocent death on the cross, all proclaimed in the Word of God. When we're attacked, what weapon do you have? The sword of the Spirit, that is the Word of God itself. Everything that you and I have been given is all focused on the promises that God gives in his Word and all the results of Jesus' work. There is nothing stronger than that. Nothing can defeat it. Nothing can overcome that. And you and I have that armor on, thanks to God, through faith. So whenever we have these difficult situations, when the gospel divides and we're dealing with these attacks, guess what? You are well protected. You have the armor of God. Those are the big two truths that we want to keep in mind. And you can go ahead and fill in the blanks there on the top of page 8 for the sermon theme. When the gospel divides, remember, peace and armor. 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 You have peace with God himself no matter what is going on anywhere with anyone else. You have peace with the Almighty God. And whenever you are attacked, guess what? That Almighty God has given you his almighty armor to protect you. Peace and armor. Now, as we look at the first lesson, we see a historical example of how God can work those two truths in the hearts of his people. In 2 Kings, where we are here in the first lesson, you could tell it's a very tumultuous time in the history of Israel. The nation had been split in two. They had followed poor kings on both sides. There was a couple that ruled over God's people. That was probably the worst couple to ever rule over God's people. King Ahab and his queen Jezebel. Maybe you've heard those names. They were ruthless. They were nasty. They instilled Baal worship into God's people. They persecuted and murdered God's prophets. They were vile, especially Jezebel. So as we get here to 2 Kings chapter 11 and we hear about their daughter, Athaliah, we see that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree sometimes. Athaliah had a son named Ahaziah. He was king, but then he was killed. And did Athaliah mourn over her dead son? No. Instead, she uses it as an opportunity to try to vault herself into power. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she proceeded to destroy the whole royal family. She went on a rampage and started eliminating any successors to the throne who could challenge her claim. That meant going after her grandchildren. But where this turns into more than just a family squabble is who these grandchildren were. These grandchildren were the royal descendants of King David. See, the people of God knew of this promise David had been given, that someone from his royal line would sit on the really brought comfort to the hearts of God's people. And here we have this woman attacking. somebody that stepped up. In fact, a number of people that did that, and they guided, God guided them with peace in their hearts to do what was right. But Jehoshaphat, the daughter of King Jehoram and sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the royal princes who were about to be murdered. She put him and his nurse in a bedroom to hide him from Athaliah so he was not killed. A lot of names there, so let's try to sort that out a little bit. Jehoshaphat was the sister of King Ahaziah who had been killed. It doesn't mean she was the daughter of Athaliah. They had a different mom. But still, this was her brother's mom. So this was a very personal family issue. Must have been very difficult for her. But that didn't stop her from doing the right thing. She still stood up and protected her nephew. She hid away, his name was Joash, he was one or under, hid him away where a Baal-worshipping evil queen mother wouldn't go. The temple of the Lord. Do you ever have times when the gospel divides and that dividing sort of the gospel lands smack dab in the middle of your family? Or maybe in your close friends? That ain't easy. So when that happens, what were those two things you were to remember again? As they were hiding King Joash, they didn't do that for just a week or two. He remained hidden with his nurse at the temple of the Lord for 6 years while Athaliah ruled the land. 6 years they hid this young boy in the temple. If you know young kids, you know that ain't easy. They had to wait 6 years to do that. That just shows how much patience they had. Thank you for your patience right now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How about I hold it like this? They had a lot of patience. You and I are put in situations when we have to have patience too. When that gospel dividing sword comes down, what do? Do we become impatient and start to doubt God's care? We're like, God, I'm sitting here. Come on, help me out. So when that happens, what are we to remember? After 6 years, which is a long time to wait, they thought that there was a right time. So finally, it was Jehoshaphat's husband who was the priest. His name was Jehoiada. He decided it was time to step up publicly and show his allegiance to God and for all the people too. So he put his neck out on the line. He talked to the temple guards and even to the military commanders, made sure that they had a military backing. Then pulls out all this plan and decides, okay, if this happens, this is what we're going to do. And especially if the queen mother comes in, this is what we have to do. He had the backing of everybody, and therefore, there we go. It was time. Jehoiada brought out the king's son and put the crown on him. He presented him with a copy of the covenant and proclaimed him king. They anointed him, and the people clapped their hands and shouted, "Long live the king!" Notice where they did this. The temple, which was right next to the palace. Notice what they put into his hands, the young boy king. Copy of the covenant. God's word, the promises, the sword of the Spirit. The promise where God says, "I will be your God and you will be my people." Do you ever have moments when you get to stand up for Jesus publicly in the midst of unbelief? That ain't easy either. So what do? What do you remember in that time? course, as all of this was going on for the people in the temple, the evil queen heard it. She heard all the people shouting, and so she runs from the palace all the way to the temple. She sees what's going on, and she cries out, which is probably the most ironic thing said in Scripture, "Treason! Treason!" Like she, of all people, could claim that. So what did God's people do with the queen mother there? Did they cower in fear? Did they obey her? No, they did what was right for God. They did what they had to do. They seized her as she reached the place where the horses enter the palace grounds. And there, she was put to death. They eliminated that harmful relationship with the queen mother. Do you ever have relationships that are harmful to your relationship with God? It might be time to eliminate those relationships. That doesn't mean kill anybody. Okay. Temple guards had that command. You and I do not. But if we have a spiritually unhealthy relationship, it might be time to consider cutting that relationship loose if it's pulling us away from God. When that happens, what are some good things to remember to help us know that they are vital to our eternal life? But it's not just relationships that we have to be careful of. There's more too, and the people knew that. Jehoiada then made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people that they would be the Lord's people. He also made a covenant between the king and the people. All the people of the land went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They smashed the altars and idols to pieces and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, in front of the altars. Now renewed in their covenant with the Lord, the people fulfill that covenant. They get rid of all of the false worship and anything else that tempted. Do you have anything, a sinful thing, that has raised a temple in your heart? Is that pulling you away from God? Maybe not a person, but a thing. It might be time to remember what God says to remember. You can see that there's a lot in this first lesson. Division, even amongst our closest relationships. Patiently waiting in the midst of that division. Publicly proclaiming our allegiance to God in the midst of unbelief. Eliminating harmful relationships when that happens. And eliminating harmful things and temptations when we need to. It's all packed in to this big example of when the gospel divides. With any of those things in your life in the past, have you failed? Maybe there are times when that dividing sword of the gospel came down and you failed to choose the right side. Maybe you chose a relationship with someone else over your relationship with God. Maybe you got impatient and you doubted that God even cares for you or even sees your issues. Maybe you saw that there was a moment where you could proclaim your faith, but instead you were ashamed. Even ashamed of God's word. Maybe there was something or someone that was pulling you away from God and you turned a blind eye to that harm. You instead indulged in it. You and I have all done that. We've all failed. We've all failed to side with God. When we do that, what are we to do? Remember, peace and armor. Peace and armor. You have peace with God. God took you from being his enemy, and he brought you to his side and made you his dear child. all through the baptism of suffering that was taken from you and put upon Jesus. You have peace with God Himself. And God has graciously given you His armor to protect you. When those moments come again, you know that you are well protected if you cling to those promises. Think of the righteousness that covers you, what comfort that brings. Think of the gospel of peace. Think of the fact that you have the truth, you have the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God. You have all of these promises. They're all about your salvation. And you have all of that protecting you. There will be division. It's inescapable. But when that dividing sword of the gospel comes down, God be praised, we know that we have something very certain to remember. When the gospel divides, remember peace and armor. Amen. Please stand. May the promises of God strengthen you and protect you as you live for Him. Amen. We now confess our faith in what God has done to secure that peace, according to the words of an ancient creed called the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Those He saves are His delight. will hold me fast, precious in his holy sight. He will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last, bought by him at such a cost. He will hold me fast. For my life he bled and died. Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Raised with him to endless life, he will hold me fast. Till our faith is turned to sight, when he comes at last, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast.
Is it working? No? Yes? Okay. We'll keep going. Thank you. The prayer of the church this morning is printed for you to follow along with on page 9. We also keep in our minds and hearts as we pray those faced with health challenges, including Vicki Underwood and Fred Biederbeck, who's undergoing surgery today. We pray. Almighty God, heaven and earth are full of your glory. All the stars, the sun and moon, all energies and forces, the sea and clouds are messengers of your wonder and might. For your creation, we praise you, O Father. We pray for your church and your people. Grant us ministers and teachers who are led by your Spirit and earnestly hold forth your word of life. Save us from all false prophets and deceitful guides, that we, being knit together in love, may with one mind strive for the truth of your word. Guard and defend our homes, that parents may be kept in the bonds of love and rule their children well, nourishing them in truth and righteousness. Bestow your favor on all useful labor in industry and agriculture, education and science, the professions and the arts, that in their advancement your people may prosper. We pray for all who may be ill in body, mind, or spirit, for all who may be in danger, for all who may be in anxiety or perplexity, for all who may be suffering disappointment or defeat. Be present with them in their afflictions. Show them the way out of all their troubles, and save them for your mercy's sake. We praise you for the joy of those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week as well, Lord. Renew in them the joy of your gospel, that they may continue to glorify you in their lives. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Heavenly Father, you did not spare your own Son, but freely gave him up for us all. Mercifully grant these and all other acceptable petitions that you read in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And I'll join together in a hymn that is a good one whenever we're facing difficulty. Precious Lord, take my hand, number 451. Please stand for prayer and to receive the blessing. We pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, a good reminder of what we have day by day. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being patient earlier. You know, when the microphone went out, I was kicking myself because, not kidding, right before worship, I was checking the batteries. And it was just a little bit in the green. And I thought, I've got one more worship service in there. And I was half right. Thanks for being patient. A few announcements for you. Stick around for Bible study here in the sanctuary and our New Life in Christ Bible Information class in the Luther Room. Let's see. Big thank you yesterday to all the mighty warriors that went out. We had 15 warriors go out. We sent out or gave out about 350 invites, and we planted 31 gospel seeds with conversation. So not bad for a couple of hours' time. So thank you for all of those mighty warriors that went out for that. Now, what they were inviting people to is what we've got coming up. And so we've got a really fun, jam-packed few weeks here. This Saturday, we have the movie night. We're going to project God's Not Dead, the movie from 2014, on our gym wall. And there's going to be free popcorn available, but bring a picnic dinner if you'd like to eat while you watch. But we'll just get together, watch a good Christian movie together. Then the next day, for our next Bible information class, that's the new member class, or if you just want to refresh yourselves in the basics of Christian doctrine, that's going to start at 5 p.m. a week from today. So 5 p.m., that'll go through December, right before Christmas. Dad's breakfast is the Friday after that, September 20th. So if you are a father, and even if you're not, just come on out and study the Bible with us. It's 6 a.m. It's early, but there's good food and coffee at Black Bear Diner. 6 a.m., September 20th. The day after that is going to be a big day here on campus. We're going to have the community cook-off. Right now on Facebook, we're showing officially over 400 people interested. On Instagram, our picture is liked 500 times, so we don't know how many people are going to be here. Maybe not that many, probably not that many, but God be praised for even one that comes. But we're going to be ready. So what we need is your help. So if you like to volunteer, there's a volunteer sign up back there. We'll get you plugged in. If you remember, this is like our church picnic. So we're also asking you to bring some food and sides to share. So if you'd like to do that, there's also a food sign up back there. And also, if you think that your food is so good that it could win the contest, register online. We have 10 teams signed up already. That's twice as many as last year. God be praised. But if you'd like to try out, there's three categories: ribs, chicken, and beans or chili. So with the school, last number of years, we've had the hoedown. At the hoedown, we've had kind of the chili cook-off. That's kind of being incorporated into this. So if you're thinking that you're going to do that, this is the one that you would join. Just a heads up on that. The next day is a big day as well. We have Friendship Sunday, so a day where, you know, we do this every Sunday, really, is Friendship Sunday, but a day where we really focus on inviting friends to worship. God be praised that we get that opportunity the day after the cook-off, so it could be a two-for-one weekend there. And then that evening at 4 p.m. here at St. Mark's, very big day. We as St. Mark's wanted to start a mission in Folsom, and God be praised, we have a pastor that we're going to install on that Sunday. So September 22nd at 4 p.m., and we're going to have the worship service here. There's also going to be a potluck in the gym after that. If you're interested in the Bible information class, just know we will not skip that day. We will have class that day. So that's at 5 p.m. On that September 22nd, too. One more announcement for you before we get to the Wells Connection, and that is that Jesus Cares Ministries, our special needs ministry, is going to take part in an Autism Speaks walk in Sacramento. That's September 29th. If you're interested in joining our team to walk in that, probably will be, the schedule hasn't come out yet, but probably will be Sunday morning, so you might have to come to 8 a.m. and then leave from there. But let us know. We've got a t-shirt for you ready for that Autism Speaks walk. Now we'll watch the Wells Connection for this month.
Hello, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. Just a few weeks ago, more than 400 delegates met in New Ulm, Minnesota for our Synod's 65th Biennial Convention. Bringing together lay and called worker representatives from all over the country allows our church body to build consensus as we plan our future gospel ministry work.
We're here to highlight the challenges before us, but then also the privilege that God gives us.
The theme of the convention was For the Generations to Come. A reminder that Wells' long-term privilege is to equip each and every member to share Christ's love with future generations.
That's how Wells will be around for generations to come. If we realize this is all of our responsibility to work together in bringing God's life-giving gospel to a dying world.
Delegates learned about new opportunities to help the outreach efforts of our congregations and people. The C19 initiative gives congregations tools to reach out at Christmas time. Last year, this initiative resulted in 1.2 million people receiving invitations to Wells Christmas services. The new 10 for 10 stewardship initiative is a proven plan that has brought significant blessings to participating congregations. Also new this year is the Welcome Home initiative, which is a plan to more vigorously reach out to members who attend worship only infrequently or not at all.
What Welcome Home focuses on is the 155,000 Wells members who attend church two or fewer times a year. We all know these people. It's my responsibility to go to my Christian brother or sister who's falling away and to try and bring them back into the Christian family. Welcome home.
The delegates re-elected Reverend Mark Schrader to another four-year term as president. He is currently finishing his 12th year in that role.
I thank God for the privilege of continuing to serve you. I thank you for that. And please keep remembering me and our beloved Synod in your prayers.
Delegates also discussed several financial issues. For example, how congregation mission offerings impact our Synod's overall ministry plan. Also, delegates considered resolutions intended to help lower the debt of those studying at Martin Luther College.
We understand there's a large cost to that, and so if there's a way that we can address that in a meaningful way without cutting other ministries, I think that's important for us to address.
The World Missions presentation included news that our Synod is now in fellowship with Lutheran church bodies in Kenya and Taiwan. Delegates from those church bodies attended. It was a wonderful opportunity for them to receive encouragement from their Wells brothers.
To see with their own eyes the encouragement and the strength that God has given us in the Wells that is able to back them up and support them in their endeavors, it's a huge, huge boost for them.
World Missions also offered an update on the exciting news from Vietnam, where our Synod has been given special permission to offer theological training to leaders of the Hmong Fellowship Church.
Construction is beginning on the training facility that we will be using to train the generations of Hmong pastors that they have requested us to train. So we are the only ones with the government permission to actually do this evangelism seminary training work with the Hmong people in Vietnam.
Delegates also learned about new home mission efforts that have developed in the past 2 years and future opportunities now in the works.
Around the world, God's church continues to grow, and there's a lot of work that we can do toward that here in the United States.
The convention was held on the Martin Luther College campus, giving delegates a first-hand opportunity to see the needs which are being addressed in the school's new synod-wide campaign called Equipping Christian Witnesses. The recruitment, tuition assistance, and facilities pillars of the campaign are vital because the young people on this campus will be leading our church for the generations to come.
Once again, this convention was a reminder of the many ways in which God is blessing our Synod. I also want to thank you for giving me the privilege of serving another term as your Synod president. As you've done in the past, I know that you'll keep me and our entire Synod in your prayers. For more details on all of the events of the convention, as well as the gospel ministries you support with your congregation mission offerings, visit the Synod Convention website at wells.net/2019 Synod Convention.
For other announcements, check out the weekly news on your way out. May God bless your week as you remember peace and armor. Please stick around to greet one another.